in Ephesians, in a lot of these different books that Paul, the Lord had used to pen by the Holy Spirit by using Paul, have doctrine, don't they? They have strong doctrine. Yes. And so we have been going over some of these books. In fact, Ephesians has been one of them. But here in Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 3, if you go back to chapter 2, it would be a reminder of those that were lost without Christ before Christ. Yes. Of course, Paul was addressing the Ephesians, who they were before Christ. Paul was probably referring to himself, too, in chapter 2, of what the Lord did by giving them a new spiritual life. And he's done that to all of us who know Christ as our Savior. He's given us a new spiritual life. We're new in Christ, and as such, as new creatures, created to live for him, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of living and serving our sin, and instead of serving something else that maybe is a dead religion, a dead God, we're serving the living God, that we're living the living, risen Savior, right? Yeah. And so we're here in chapter 3, and Paul states some things that have happened to him. Why? Due to the cause of the gospel. Mm-hmm. For this intention, for this desire of giving out the gospel, some things have happened. And he continues in this letter in Ephesians, and if you want to take notes, I just basically say for the gospel, for the sake of the gospel, for the cause of the gospel. Paul has done it all for the sake of the gospel. Now, we're down in Ecuador not to experience a different life, a different culture, and see pretty things, although those things are great, right? But we're there to tell people the truth about the gospel. Amen. We're there for the gospel.
Amen.
And so here we see in chapter 3, as I'm going to read, we're going to start here in verses 1, and we'll go down to verse 12. It says this. It says in Ephesians 3, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. As I wrote before in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand by knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that what? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Aren't you glad for that?
Amen.
Whereof I was made a minister. How? According to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual work of his power. Unto me, who am what? What does it say? Who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And boy, aren't they unsearchable. And in verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for Anchor Baptist Church and where you have this work in Burnaby. Be with it. Be with the future, Lord. I don't know, but you do, and I pray that they would follow and follow you every day. Lord, I pray for Pastor Turner. You give him wisdom, discernment, and decisions. And Lord, if it be so, your will to open the door for property or what it may be, that that it's ultimately your work, and you have a work, and you'll do it as you see fit. And so be with them and these things, and be with them in telling the gospel, and many that need Christ, that have religion but don't have Christ, that are confused. And be with us this morning as we have opened your word, and I need your help, and we pray that you get the honor and glory today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So if you're taking notes, first we're going to find out here that for the cause of the gospel, is the way I put it, for the cause of the gospel, Paul was what? Paul, as we saw, he was put in prison due to the preaching of the Gentiles, the Ephesians here and the Jews. And boy, do we know about Paul. And, you know, he's written a lot of his epistles from where? From the prison in Rome. And boy, do we know that how the Jews sought out to kill him. And And if you read in the Acts and you read his testimony of coming to Christ on that road to Damascus, and you know, Paul had this, he had this intentions of, he had this cause to persecute believers. But now he has the cause to get out and preach the gospel. And for that cause, he's been put in prison. And boy, we can read how his life has changed and all that. And but behalf on Jesus Christ and the Gentiles of Ephesus, here he is, he's put in prison. And you know, Paul persecuted, as I just said, before his conversion to Saul of Tarsus. But others persecuted him now because he was a Christian and a follower and preacher of Jesus. Now, we don't know if perhaps some of his friends were persecuting him, but maybe someday in, when we're with the Lord in heaven, we're going to find that he had even close people close by, that he used to go out persecuting believers, and now they're persecuting him. And boy, that can be true in the world today, right? And maybe the stories aren't here in this country or in the United States, but they are maybe in some other places of the world where maybe family persecutes family because they're now Christians, right? And right. Paul here, for the intention, for the cause of the gospel, he's persecuted, he's put in prison. And but there, this extreme change in Paul is acknowledged here, because for many years, as he was serious about persecuting Christians, and now under the power and influence of what? The Holy Spirit. Instead of the influence of the governmental authority to persecute Christians, Paul is serious about making disciples of Christ under the authority of the Lord. Boy, if we're going to make disciples, it's going to be not under the authority of not ourselves. It's got to be under the authority of the Lord, right? And amen. Galatians 1:23 says this about Paul. But they had heard only that he, which persecuted us in times past, what does he do? Now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. And so that's the power of the gospel. In our text, Ephesians chapter 3, Paul makes reference to the mystery of Christ, which is that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of heaven and partakers of God's promise in Christ by the gospel. And this was made mention in chapter 2 of Ephesians when he referred to the Ephesians as being far from God, but were made near by what? By the blood of Christ. Amen. In Galatians 3:28, it says this, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. So all that accepted Christ as Savior before God are not considered by their family background, mm-hmm. where they grew up, what continent they're from, their age, their social status, their position in life, the color of their skin, but all are considered the same. Mm-hmm. All people have the same opportunity to come to Christ despite their current sins, past sins, or other religion they have practiced. And so we see Paul, for the intention, for the cause of the gospel, what happened. He was put into prison due to the preaching of the gospel. But also for the cause of the gospel, Paul was what? Made a minister according to God's power. Paul was made a minister according to God's power. And that's the other point for the cause of the gospel. Paul was made a minister according to God's power. It says that he was the least of all saints. If you go in 1 Corinthians, I believe it says a chief of sinners in chapter 15. So he was at least qualified based on what? His past persecution. As he states in verse 8, in the first part of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. Now look with me at Acts. I just referenced Acts, but we're actually going to go to Acts chapter 26, where he has his testimony before King Agrippa. He's in that courtroom, you know, he's not ashamed about telling the court and all those around him and King Agrippa about what happened. Mm-hmm. In chapter 26, verse 14 and 18, we read this. Here's Paul, and he says this about when he's on the road to Damascus with his men. And he says in verse 14, and when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to do what? To make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee to do what? To open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. Now many can testify how the Lord has opened their eyes and turned them from darkness to light. Mm-hmm. Paul can testify how the Lord turned him from the darkness to light, opening in his eyes. And I can testify about that. And it says here, and from what? The power of Satan unto God. Those yes. without Christ right now, under not under the power of the Lord.
That's right.
Who are they under? They're under the power of Satan. And it says it's in Ephesians 2 where we are, that they're, you know, as we were before, children of wrath. We were, and we were not headed in the right direction eternally, right? And it says that they may receive what? Forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by what? By faith
Amen.
That is in me. Not by faith that's of something else, right?
It's,
and Jesus Christ claims it's through him, right? And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, you know? And John chapter 6, it says in verse 14, and it says there's no other name given among men,
Amen.
Right? Whereby one must be saved. And so we read, and oftentimes we see that even though it's for anybody, it's only for those that would put their faith in Jesus Christ.
Right.
Because he is the only way, right? He's a truth and light. And so here Jesus is testifying, or Paul is testifying about what happened on the road to Damascus. And Jesus personally is telling Paul, hey, Paul, I'm going to make you a minister and a witness of the gospel to the Gentiles. And in our text, if you go back to Ephesians chapter 3, and our text in Ephesians 3, verse 7, we see that the description of being made a minister by what? By the gift of the grace of God.
Amen.
You know, in other words, in this verse, as this verse continues, it's the working of God's power in Paul's yes. life that enabled him to preach the gospel. And by that, God's grace has been bestowed upon Paul, right? And so it's the power of the gospel to change a person's life on earth and for eternity. It's the power of God to make someone preach and teach others the gospel.
Amen.
And this is all because of God's grace. Amen.
Amen.
And so no one deserves salvation. Not me, not to anybody. And no one deserves the power of God and the Holy Spirit to control their lives. Yet God, by his wonderful grace, says, turn to me. Trust me. Trust my son as your Savior, and I'm going to help you live and testify.
Yes.
I mean, what did Jesus say to his disciples? He said, I will what? Make you. In other words, it's not us making ourselves. It's
right.
the Lord making
Amen.
Us, right? And we ought to trust him more. And
Good.
So Paul, he gives all the credit all the time to the Lord making him Good. Who he is. And so I thank Paul for his giving credit to the Lord, and it wasn't of himself. So no matter where a person comes from, like Paul, who was chief among sinners, no matter what a person believed before, God extends his hand of mercy and grace to all who trust Christ. So number one, for the cause of the gospel, Paul was persecuted, put in jail, because for the cause of the gospel, God made him a minister who had previously persecuted believers. So not only do we see number one, for the cause of the gospel, in these verses, but we see Paul's desire, he was called as a minister, his desire was for the spread of the gospel.
Amen.
Not only see for the cause, but for the spread of the gospel in verse 9. How many men does it say here? And to make some men see what it is, the fellowship? Is that what it says? It says to make all men.
Amen.
To make all men. So we have here for the spread of the gospel to all men, once hid the mystery, which is the church, now revealed through Christ, the Creator. So God, who knows all things and has purposed or planned all things, knew the church would come to exist through Jesus Christ, who came and destroyed the wall of partition described in chapter 2, verse 14, so that all people could come to God through faith in Christ. Now, we don't have time to go through all the wall partition, but if you go to the Old Testament, right, and, you know, there's the Holy of the Holies, and, you know, only the most holy priest could go in and do all that, but now everybody has access who has believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And Jesus Christ, as it says in verse 14 in chapter 2 of Ephesians, for he is our peace, who hath made both what? Both one, hath broken down the middle wall, a partition between us.
Amen.
Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity therefore. And then it goes on and says, came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. And so we see here that, right here we have Paul. His desire was for the spread of the gospel to all, which is now revealed through Christ, the Creator. And so the church, which was a mystery for many years, right, but hid by God to the sons of men, now seen and now able to be to receive wisdom by God through the Word of God. And so we see Paul's desire for the spread of the gospel also to establish its truths to all creatures. You know, the mission to go to others is through the local church. And we see that to establish the revelation of the church eternally through Christ, the eternal purpose through God, as mentioned in verse 11, according to the eternal purpose, which he did what? Which he purposed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so the Lord's will and plan has always been that none would perish, but all would come to the saving truth of the gospel. Believers carry the truth of the gospel and should desire to make known this truth to all, right? And we are stewards of God's word. We are ambassadors of God's word. And Christ gave the grand commission in Matthew 28, but that mission still stands today, right?
Amen.
And boy, if it didn't, then I don't know where I would be. I don't know about you. And aren't you glad that it still stands today?
Amen.
And aren't you glad he is giving us the opportunity, but we have to rely on his power through us to go out there and tell people? And so the spread of the gospel is a responsibility of those who have been reconciled to God through the blood and sacrifice and resurrection of Jesus Christ, as seen in chapter 2, in Ephesians chapter 2. Now, 2 Corinthians, as I mentioned, 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 20 describes those that are believers as what? Ambassadors who have the ministry of reconciliation. That is the duty to show others how they can be reconciled to God and become a part of the family of God. Now, ambassadors in every country, right? And an ambassador's duty is to be a help and sort of kind of a light representative of the country that they've come from and to be a help in the country that they're going to. And as believers, we are ambassadors wherever we are to be a help, to be a light, and to represent Christ and to show people how they can be reconciled to him through Jesus Christ. And so it's our duty. And you know, the church, the body of Christ, has been the instrument of God's plan to use for the spread
Amen.
Of the gospel.
Amen.
But let's continue. We're going to continue reading in verse 13. Paul continues and he says this, "Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." And I can't imagine all. We've seen different parts of the epistles where Paul describes all that he's been through, right? And he's been through a lot, probably more than we would ever go through, right? But it says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man,
Amen.
That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God." Now look at verse 20. Mm-hmm. "Now unto him that is what? That is able to exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." It's not our power, but his power, right?
Amen.
Working in us. "Unto him," not to our, to us, right? "But unto
right.
him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout how many ages?
All ages.
Amen. World without end. Amen. And so here we have here in these verses, first off, if you notice in verse, notice that Paul begins to do what back in verse 14? He begins to pray back in verse 14, and he does what? He bows his knee to God, and this prayer for the believers in Ephesus, it continues to verse 19. And so what we're going to find out here is that Paul is a minister who prays for others. Therefore, thirdly, we see the power of the gospel gives believers confidence and access to God.
Mm.
Well, aren't you glad that we have access to God through Jesus Christ?
Amen.
And as for the power of the gospel gives believers confidence and access to God. And Paul, if you look back in verse 12, he says this, "In whom we what? Have boldness and access with confidence by what? By the faith of who? of him by the faith in Jesus Christ. And so we have that confidence. We should have that confidence, not of ourselves, but through him we should. And so Paul has confidence as he comes before the throne of God through Jesus Christ. He prays that by the power of the gospel given to believers, that they would get strength within, in verse 16. Strength within. As Paul talked about in chapter 2, one is made near to God by what? By the blood of Christ and his sacrifice, which if one accepts and believes, will be saved and will become a child of God. And this is what the gospel does when one accepts Christ as their Savior. You know, many need to be adopted in the family of God.
Amen.
And so they can have access through Christ to talk with God. God's plan from the eternal past was for all to accept Christ and to be a part of the family of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't have access to any kingdom, any palace, whether it be here in Canada, whether it be in the United States, any president, any minister of a prime minister, or whatever it may be, I don't have access to go talk to them. But I'm sure that family has access to talk to them, right? And I know a lot of times when kids go to parents, it could be because they have a serious concern and they're asking their mom or dad to help them out. And boy, if a family member of a king or queen or whatever it may be goes to the palace because they have open access because they are a child or they are a family member, they're able to go and give a concern to who their king or their queen. But more importantly than that, I'm glad as a believer in Jesus Christ, I have access to someone far greater than any president
Amen.
Or any queen or king.
Hallelujah.
And I have access whenever.
Very good.
I have access whenever, and that is to God through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Amen. And so we have strength, which is from the Holy Spirit within us. Strength to endure hardships. Strength to press forward to testify of the living Savior. Strength to follow Christ by obeying his word, and strength to wait and be patient in hearing from the Lord with our prayers. You know, it's by the Spirit of God we are spiritually strengthened. As verse 16 would state here, it says here that we might by what? Be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now, there's a commentary that says something about this in verse 16. There are many verses. You can write them down. We don't have time to go to them. But here's the commentary, and this is what it says about the inner man. The inner man of a lost sinner is dead. Ephesians chapter 2, 1. Well, we can read that real quick. We're right there in Ephesians. And you hath he quickened who were what?
Yes.
Dead in trespasses and sins. And that can remind us of ourselves, right? And it goes on and talks about who we were before, but it was addressed to the Ephesians there, but it can be applied to our lives, right?
Yes.
So the inner man of the lost sinner is dead, Ephesians 2:1, but it becomes alive when Christ is invited in, right?
Amen.
And so somebody, when the Holy Spirit is convicting, ought to invite Christ to come live with them,
yes.
Ought to see that they're a sinner, ought to see that they need Christ as their Savior. And so when that happens, they accept Christ as their Savior, it becomes alive inside. And that inner man can see, Psalms 119:18. The inner man can hear, Matthew 13:9. The inner man can taste, Psalm 34:8. And the inner man can feel, Acts 17:27. The inner man must be exercised, 1 Timothy 4:7-8. He also must be cleansed, Psalm 51:7. The inner man must be fed, Matthew 4:4. Now, the outer man is perishing,
yes.
But the inner man can be renewed spiritually in spite
Amen.
Of outward physical decay. That's 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. But it's this inner man, it's what's in the inner man of a believer, this power that makes him succeed from the Lord, right? And that's not of ourselves. So as we continue in our text, we see the desire and prayer of Paul for the Ephesians to understand the truth of the Lord and for the Lord to do far more than they could believe or understand their lives. And we see this in verse 20. Therefore we see, for the power of the gospel dwells in believers. We not only see for the power of the gospel gives believers confidence and access and gives strength within, but we see for the power of the gospel dwells in believers to understand his truth.
Amen.
To perform in them above their own abilities. Verse 20. Now I know that Going to Ecuador, I didn't have much ability in Spanish. I didn't have much ability to understand the people. And we're still working on that, but the Lord, by His grace, has helped me in those things. Good. And we've seen people get saved because there's power in the gospel, not great ability in me, right? And I try to tell the people there, hey, you can speak better than I can. And we're seeing people get saved, not because my ability to speak in Spanish, but it's by what the Word of God says. So you need to trust the Word of God, and you can go out. So I try to tell them that. It's not our abilities, but it's the Lord working through us. And so, God enables believers to understand His Word, right? And He enables believers to be convicted of things needing attention in their lives when they are daily reading and thinking upon His Word. You know, that their foundation within them is made or constructed from the love of Christ dwelling in them with the Holy Spirit. And so their bodies, our bodies as believers are a temple of the Holy Spirit, right? And which has been given to us because we have been bought with what? With a price. The Ephesians are told that they have been bought with a price, which is the shed blood of Christ. And he's saying in verse 20, what? He's able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. He's telling the Ephesians, He can do far much more according to the power that worketh in us.
Amen.
And he tells them that. And so we're reminded through the power of God and not of ourselves and here for the Ephesians, not of themselves, that God is able to perform in them much more than they could think. But it is His power in them, not their own. I know there's been times where I'm like, how did that happen, or how did this happen, or that, and I have to always go back, well, it's because of the Lord. And
Amen.
And sometimes we can underestimate the Lord, unfortunately, and we ought to not underestimate Him. And Paul's saying, hey, don't underestimate the Lord and what He can do. And so he's telling the Ephesians. And so because of what He does through them, the Ephesians and the church, that glory should be to Him forever. Glory ought to be to the Lord forever for what He does in our lives and what He does by saving others, right? And what we hear in testimonies, we ought to give God the glory, right?
Amen.
And so here, as we conclude, we can first find that for the cause of the gospel, you know, ourselves, believers in the local church here, back in Ecuador or wherever you may be, we may be opposed or resisted from the world, the flesh and the devil, for the cause of the gospel. You go back to chapter 2 and verse 2 and 3, we're reminded of about all this. It says, where in time past you walked according to the what? To the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And it says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the what? In the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. We were by nature the what? The children of wrath, even as others. And so when we were in that time of our life, we probably would not face opposition, right? And if someone doesn't know Jesus Christ is your Savior, probably not going to face opposition. But like Paul, who got changed, like us that have been changed, if for the cause of the gospel, we may be opposed or resisted, right? And we know that Paul, he was put in prison. We know that the Jews wanted to kill him. The Pharisees were after him. And so resistance may take place within our families too. You got to know that, and it's not anything that ought to be a surprise. And I wonder if there was any in Paul's family that resisted him or opposed him. So anyways, we move on, and we see we're also reminded here in this chapter 3, for the cause of the gospel, we are made witnesses and ministers. By what? By the power of God. So for the cause of the gospel, we are made witnesses and ministers by the power of God,
Amen.
Who enables us to witness Christ to others.
Amen.
Not of our own enabling, it's by only Him. If you go back to Acts chapter 1, and Christ even says, power will be given to you, right? And He said, go start, locally, and then spread out, and then to the outermost of the world, but you'll be given the power of the Holy Spirit. So we got to be reminded of that. Jesus said, I'm with you how often? In the grave, always. And so we always need to be reminded of that. But next we see, for the spread of the gospel, we are given the task.
Yes.
We are given the task to go to all the world. In verse 9 in our text, it says, and to make how many men to know?
All.
To make all men. And so for the spread of the gospel, we are given the task to go to all the world and reveal the plan of salvation. That is for all people, and that as believers together locally, we are the body of Christ. There may be somebody in Burnaby, I don't know, or there may be somebody in Vancouver, I don't know, that needs Christ, that could end up going back to maybe their country.
Sure.
And starting a work. Amen. I don't know that, but the Lord does, and the Lord can enable them. And so we ought to just go out and tell them. And who knows who the Lord is, who will receive Jesus Christ, right? But the Lord knows, and we ought to just tell them, and the Lord will enable them, and they can go to places maybe we can't go. Right. And so we ought to be praying about those going. We ought to be praying for, I ought to be praying for missionaries. I ought to be praying for you guys, and that people would get the gospel. And so we see for the spread of the gospels, we're given that task to go to all the world and reveal the plan of salvation. Next, we see as believers, we see for the power of the gospel in our lives, we are given strength within to face trials.
Amen.
We're all going to face trials. Sometimes they're temporary. Sometimes they're longer. We don't know, but by the power of the gospel in our lives, as the Holy Spirit will give us strength, as we see in verse 16, within to face trials, to endure hardships, and come to God through Christ. And we know Paul was given that strength. How many times did he have issues? He had the thorn of the flesh. Did it go away? No, but God used it, and he was strengthened right through all that, and God used it for a purpose. And so, you know, we may have something in our own lives that are going on that, and it's kind of like Paul, but maybe God is using it to strengthen us. And with the Holy Spirit within us, we can endure hardships. We can endure those trials. So we see that also for the power of the gospel works in our lives to help us understand His word and the love of Christ through the Holy Spirit working within us. I'm glad that we can come to a local church, and sometimes the God will lead us to an understanding as maybe our pastor is preaching, right? And maybe we get clear understanding because we have the Holy Spirit working in the services and working in the message of the messenger, and that everything is cleared for us maybe a pastor speaking on a passage. And maybe we didn't know about it beforehand, but we asked the Lord to help you understand the word. And mm-hmm. and then also the Lord uses a pastor or whatnot to help you better understand a passage. Maybe you didn't understand at the beginning, but mm-hmm. now you do. And as believers, the Lord is going to help us understand His word. And the world doesn't understand His word. The Lord, the world has a misunderstanding of God and the misunderstanding of Jesus Christ. And we can give them the gospel, and we can allow the Holy Spirit to convict them so that their eyes can open, as I just read in Acts chapter 26, because they're not under the power of God, not under the influence of Jesus Christ, right? And they're under the influence of what? They're under the influence of the devil, their flesh, and the world. And so somebody without Christ may respond in a way that may offend you, but I can think before I was with Christ, maybe that I would respond in a certain way. Because I was in darkness. And so people are going to respond in a way that may be offensive because they're in darkness. And so that's just the way they're going to respond. But how are we going to respond to the message today? Once again, we see here, number one, for the cause of the gospel, we could be opposed as we give the gospel, for the cause of the gospel, for the spread of the gospel, and for the power of the gospel to work in our lives. And so we're given these things. We're given the task to go tell people. And we see here in chapter 3, as Paul says in verse 1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for what? For you Gentiles, as you have heard. Yes. He goes on and talks about the revelation, about the gospel, and about how that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body. He said, I'm here today, I'm in prison for this cause. Because I came and preached to you about Jesus Christ. Because my life has changed, and for the power of the gospel has changed my life, and I'm completely different now. And so I'm willing to be in prison. I'm willing for the Lord to use me where I'm at, but I'm willing for the Lord, the word to go forth, not only in Ephesus, but beyond that, to all men, as he says in verse 9. So where are you today? Where are you today? And maybe the Lord has challenged you in chapter 3 for the cause of the gospel, as Paul has written to the Ephesians in chapter 3. Hopefully, the Lord, if he's working in your heart, you would respond to his word today. I'm going to have Pastor take over at this time.